Blog Talk Radio.
Ginger's somewhere on the line. I don't know where, but she's out in the field doing a quest, and she has herself muted. Ginger, where are you? Ginger, hello? Ginger? Ginger, we can't hear you. It'd be a shame. All right, so good morning to you all out there. I know y'all missed us yesterday. So much fun. I had yesterday. Not really. That's me being sarcastic. Yeah. Always got work to do. Horace, yes, it is time for the show. We cannot get our Ginger to come off of mute or something. I don't know.
Yay, I'm back.
There she is. Yeah, she finally came off of mute.
Yay.
I promise.
You Howdy, people.
I thought I was making it up. She really is there.
I really, really, really am here. I'm having to do this from phone. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened Saturday. Somebody was out working on my pole. We didn't call them. And now I have no internet. So somebody's here right now, actually.
Wow.
We're down the internet.
Yay! So, see, Ginger, you know what you forgot to do? You know what you forgot to do?
What did I forget to do?
I thought about this. You forgot to use the power of Twitter to get your internet fixed. Remember what I told you?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Dear at Comcast, I hate you. They would have come right back to
your house. I do think I said something on Facebook, but I didn't say anything on Twitter.
No, you got to do the Twitter.
Of course, you know, I have much for Facebook, so.
Yeah, Facebook is okay, but Twitter is all powerful when it comes to stuff like this. This is
one second.
Yeah. Okay, so she's got to get it. She's getting her internet fixed. Anyway, hope you guys are doing okay out there. So, as y'all know.
I'm back.
And she's back again. Because, so as y'all know,
I'm back again, baby.
I rebuilt Miss Frankie.
Where is this apparently going to go?
I rebuilt Miss Frankie over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
It went bad at first because I was doing the whole, I really don't want to rebuild my computer. And then once I started, you know, I remembered how much I love building computers. I love it.
Building computers is so much fun. People don't understand that. I mean, all my friends, you know, because they talk about, oh, I'm going to give you a computer. Why? Just build it. I mean, it's so hard, and I don't know how. It comes with instructions. It's color-coded. It's plug and play. It's not hard.
I didn't need the instructions. It was just a matter of, thinking about it is much worse than actually doing it. Now, however, I did not get it done Friday night because I got tired. Yeah, I got tired, and I made a mistake, and I was freaking out over the mistake. And I knew it was something I was overlooking, so I went to sleep. But I kept turning it on, and I kept getting disk failure. So you know what I thought? I thought Electro Girl has killed both of her hard drives that I have in there. And I said, oh, God.
That would be no good. Did you do any kind of, like, preparation, gloves, anything?
See, you sound like the guy when I went to Micro Center. The bad thing about knowing so many geeks or being around geeks is we always assume we're more geeky than the geek we're talking to. So they're going, what you need is a static band. I said, dude, I wear three. I have an excessive amount of natural
body. No, static, yeah. My mother is like you, and that's why I'm wondering, you know, did you try gloves? Did you,
But
you get like those thick, not really hard, but heavy-duty rubber gloves.
I don't have rubber gloves, but I have learned how to do things with static bags on my hands, believe it or not. Amazing to watch.
Interesting.
Yes. So maybe I'll invent a disposable static glove. That I may be the person to come up with that. If you see them for sale on Game & Atrix, you can buy them. But so But that was not, you know, even I was being leery of that. So I figured somewhere along the way I must have touched them. But you know what the problem was? Because I was so tired, I didn't plug the hard drives in. I had a SATA to IDE converter, and I didn't plug them in because I'm so used to seeing that IDE cable plugged in. It didn't occur to me. The hard drives are not plugged in, Corey, till I got up the next morning. Plugged them in. Bam! Frankie came right on. She started right up. Beautiful.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
Yes. And Baby Nature's just looking at me that night because I was like, it won't turn on. She says, you're not going to freak out, are you? I says, I might, but I'm kind of tired. I'm actually too tired to freak out, so I'm just going to lay down. And I'm not going to.
I freak out in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm having pancakes.
Yeah, when I have, I need rest to freak out properly, but didn't need to. She came on. And we didn't get to play anything.
Oh, that's hilarious.
We didn't get to play anything else but The Sims. So sorry, y'all. I didn't actually get to Ben's game properly, but we played a fair amount of The Sims, like, until 2, 3 in the morning Sunday, she and I.
Girl, that's – well, I didn't play The Sims, so I almost did get Animal Crossing, but I didn't see the point because I didn't have internet connection. So I went with Wii Batman 2, the DC superhero one.
Kendra, you didn't need the internet connection to play Animal Crossing. You only needed to play with me. It'll work without the internet. You should have picked it up. Oh, my God, we could have been playing Animal Crossing all day today.
Oh, my God, that would have been fun. I may have to go get it. It's only like $20 at Walmart.
We could have been fishing right now.
Seriously. You know I love some fishing.
I know.
But, no, I played that, what is it, Cake Baker Deluxe or whatever it was. Something Deluxe. Deluxe Bakery?
Really?
We talked about it Friday, and I got it on my Droid, and I played it all weekend. I'm level 11 now.
Oh, why am I not surprised?
And it's actually addicting. It's actually very addicting. I was surprised because I was like, you know, I don't know. Some of the quests are kind of a pain in the ass. decorating. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm on air. My bad, people.
it's okay. That one's okay.
Decorating. Decorating your store is a pain. Oh, my God. Because you get these empty squares, you got to move them with your finger, you know, because it's touch screen.
Oh, boy.
Such a pain.
Stop it. You say, stop it. No, no. All right. We better do some gaming news before we have to cut these people. Okay, so, man, there's a lot of news. Do not ask me anything about what's going on with that iPhone business. There is something going on. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm sorry for those of you who bought one. And those of you who didn't, we did tell you you might want to wait because it always happens. There's something going wrong. I saw it early this morning. I just went, meh, and I skipped over it. So unless I run across it again, I probably won't be telling you about it. This is not cute what's going on with the iPhone. But I will tell you this, those of you who keep talking about how wonderful Bayonetta was, and we kept telling you here that it sucked. Well, apparently the developers agree with us. Mm-hmm. Platinum Games is busy finishing up work, of course, on Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. Director Atsushi Inaba spoke with Edge Magazine about the company's biggest disappointment to date, and he had harsh words for those who would dismiss Japanese developers en masse. As part of their feature interview, he told Edge that he regretted shifting responsibility for the PlayStation 3 version of Bayonetta to an external team with Platinum publishing partner Sega. He said that version of the game turned out to have frame rate issues and control quirks not present in the Xbox 360 edition, which I didn't get to play. Mm-hmm. I did see the PS3 edition and didn't like. He said the biggest failure for Platinum so far, the one that really sticks in my mind, is that port. He said, at the time, we really didn't know how to develop on PS3 all that well, and whether we could have done it is irrelevant. We made the decision that we couldn't. But looking back on that result, and especially what ended up being released to users, I regret that as our biggest failure. Inferior ports presumably won't be an issue for Bayonetta 2, they said, as the game has been announced as a Wii U exclusive. Uh-huh, with Nintendo set to publish. Nintendo is killing it already. According to Edge, CVG and Nava also took exception in the interview to the way people talk about the Japanese game development scene. He says, I don't like it when people lump Japanese game developers all together into one group. Frankly, I think it's a joke. What do these people know? Think about Western developers. There are many Western developers making terrible games. I agree. And then you see one like Infinity Ward making a game that sells 20 million, and everyone says, hey, Western developers are amazing. There are tons of terrible Western developers, just like there are tons of terrible Japanese
Donna
developers.
Roar.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Donna Roy? You have earned a place of infamy in our hearts as the worst game developer ever.
You know, it wouldn't have been bad had they not stalked me afterwards.
I think that's, yeah, that's
so,
what
you know what?
Sense.
They want to stalk me, I will reverse stalk them. Every time we mention horrible developers.
It's kind of like that guy that you date. You know, it's not a great date, and you're like, yeah, I don't want to go out with him again. It wasn't bad. But when he starts acting crazy, then it becomes a horrible date. Then you start picking it apart. This dude sucked. Anyway, so yeah, that's what's happening to you, Donna Roy, with us. Y'all need to. This one I have to share from Cryptic. They're talking about game ratings, which is why we stopped doing them. Why does everybody always follow behind us a day late, dollar short? Cryptic is saying that games ratings don't do a great justice to MMOs, and I have to agree with him. That's why we stopped doing ratings. We just tell you if we like it or not, and that should be all that's important. If we give it 5 stars, it doesn't matter. What the hell's a star anyway? Star Trek, of course, is not just one of the biggest science fiction properties ever. It's one of the most recognizable brands to come from television, like ever. If I say Star Trek, everybody knows what that is, right? Yeah. For a large fandom, it can be really beneficial for a free-to-play MMO trying to break into a mainstream audience. But Cryptic is saying they've had several internal debates about this and said that Star Trek, this is from Star Trek Online executive producer Dan Stahl. He said, what is the worth of an intellectual property when considering a free-to-play MMO game? If I were to compare Star Trek Online to a retail business, I'd look at some of the great properties like Star Trek and Star Wars, which both have very healthy hobby businesses attached to them. When you consider that there are people who may want to buy Spock's eyelashes for $1,000, it's clear that Star Trek is their hobby. He said, the nice thing about a hobby is that you spend what you want to spend. Some people will watch an Oakland Raiders game from the luxury of their couch while wearing their sweats. Conversely, some people will paint their car silver and black and spend hours tailgating decked out in Raider merchandise. This is also what I love about being a gamer, because some of us are way over the top and some of us are kind of laid back about it, but we all love it. He says, of course, in a free-to-play, you also have people engaged at all levels. Having an intellectual property like Star Trek is awesome for a free-to-play MMO because it brings with it an already established mix of fans that might not exist if you tried to build a space MMO concept from scratch. He says, while Star Trek Online as an MMO has evolved a lot since its launch, with plenty of new story content, like a duty officer system, the free-to-play option, and much more, most of the reviews the game received came soon after the game release in 2010, and the current situation with MMO reviews is, at best, inadequate. And Stahl would prefer a more progressive review scale. Amazing. That is kind of what we do here.
Exactly. Hire us.
Yeah, we are constantly mentioning, especially with MMOs, because I always thought that was never fair, too. You can't do one review on MMO and then say that's pretty much the game, because they are constantly changing, the MMOs are.
They are. They are totally constantly changing. And I really think it depends on, you know, what side you roll, what race, what you play, how often you play. Are you hardcore or are you not? You know, that's going to change your opinion and your view of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're hardcore MMO and you get in and, you know, this is kind of weak sauce, you know, for hardcore player,
yep.
Then of course your view is not going to be very good. But, you know, if you're average Joe, just want to spend, you know, 15 minutes and get your purple, then it's awesome and you love it. It's the best game you ever played.
Exactly. Because I will tell y'all, y'all know I'm not a big WoW fan. And you always hear me say, first, I am not a WoW fan. It didn't do anything for me. But these three here love them some WoW. They will play. They will talk about it. They go into the whole tirade, just like I do, about, you know, their shaman and so on and so forth. So that doesn't mean it's a bad game. I say it's not enough for me. But the fact that they sit and talk about it lets you know if you tried it, maybe you want to go back and try it, because it's changed even since I was in it. It's been a few years since I was in there, and it may have done some amazing things, and I may love it. And if I put it even in the context of City of Heroes, when I first went in, I absolutely loved it. Towards the time when I stopped playing, where I haven't played in, you know, another one I haven't played in about a year or two, they'd done some changes that I didn't much care for. I would like to keep it alive because I'd like to give them the chance to go back and, you know, get back to where they were. But MMOs kind of, it's really not fair to give them, you know, bam, this is good, because it may be good that week when you played the first time because it's new out. There's a bunch of people. All your friends are playing. And then you let your subscription lapse and you don't go back and don't see that maybe it gets worse. Maybe, you know, there's a number of City of Heroes, if you had based it on the first week that they were out, just the first week, you would probably, and I know there are several people that never went back. There was a city, Saints Row, everybody knows this, the city. Saints Row was unplayable. You could not go into the city. If you went there, it was a lag fest. And when I say lag, it was like watching a slideshow.
And oh, my God, that's horrible.
But it was only in that city, but what could you do? And once you got in there, you weren't coming out. So there was like a whole city of people just standing there, and they'd move every couple of seconds, every 10 to 15 seconds.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you went in, you were not coming out. If you based it on that, then obviously it would get bad reviews. But once they fixed it, oh, it was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous, fun to play, something different. So it, you can't, he's absolutely right. There needs to be a different system, which is more like ours, where we just keep you updated. We mention it every once in a while. We'll post stuff or we tell you the new stuff that they're doing, and we really try to steer clear of the whole, they get 5 stars from us, or you get 2 thumbs up. Or we were doing that. I think I cut that out probably like 3 years ago. We were still doing the whole, I think at one time we had kisses or something like that, and I was like, this is stupid. It occurred to me that this is a stupid way to do this. You can't do that. Sometimes games change. Even with DLC now with games, it changes. You can't really. Anyway, that's our take on it, and that's his take. Dan, we agree with you. And I didn't know, you know what? I didn't know Star Trek Online had come out. So and now that Frankie's ready to rock, I may pop in there sometime and play when I can breathe again.
I've had some friends trying to get me in, and I've just not had time, nor apparently connection, so I would love to play. Man, I miss the game. I miss gaming. This has been four whole days now.
Aww.
I'm dying, Corey.
I got Snow in Second Life who is not very happy. She's great. Somebody has made her angry.
Uh-oh. People, yeah. Why are you making our Snow mad? Man, I get connection. I'm going to come in there. I'm going to kick somebody's butt. Just saying. I warned y'all.
You know, you scared
the hell
out of me when you IM'd me because, you know, if y'all know, we keep telling y'all we have a store in Second Life. So I have been for the 2 months, I keep joking. I'm like the Keebler elf. I keep making baby shoes. So I was working on the Monster Shoe. I have one that's coming out called Monster Shoe. This is his name. There's a bunch of monster shoes, but this is the main monster shoe, and he's got eyes or something. And I don't know, I was listening to some, you know, trying to keep myself in the whole Halloween mood because I'm getting. And you, I am.
Yeah, you're enough for Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, I never keep my sounds on for anything. So usually if you ding me, if I don't answer, it's because I didn't hear. But I had them on last night, and it was loud. And when you ding me, I was like, That's why it took me a minute to answer. I had to get up and walk around. I gave myself a headache as screams. So what the hell is that noise?
That's funny.
What is that?
That's hilarious. He's so cute.
Yes, and nothing really scares me, but that did. Oh, good morning, Joe. Joe, by the way, there's some mail coming
good
for you.
Good morning,
too.
Joe's got
mail coming too.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
It's just
everybody's
his prize.
Mail.
It's just his prize that he was supposed to get months ago, and he's been so patient. And I am so sorry. This morning, you know what, Joe? I almost forgot your prize too in the car. I went to the post office, and I was sending Ginger a birthday present, and I looked around. I had your address, and I'm like, I am missing something, and I think I left it at home. But turns out it was in the car, which was good. Because if it was still at home, it wasn't going today either. I was like, I'm going home. I have to get them tomorrow. So, Joe, watch out in your mail for that. If you don't get it by, say, Friday, let me know so I can yell at the U.S. Postal Service. Send him his stuff. All right, back to our news because, you know, I like to ramble. See, Ginger, you're supposed to keep me in line.
I can't help it. My phone.
You see her phone, and she went dead. Okay, so Sega has a new game coming out today. It's called Fire, Brimstone, and Bunnies. Hell yeah. Wrath of the Dead Rabbit, now available. That's right. It's available for download today here in North America on the PlayStation Network. It's also coming to Steam and the Xbox Live Arcade tomorrow. Wait a minute, is that today? No, it's tomorrow. Ash, the diabolic hero of Hell Yeah, will also unleash his wrath on unsuspecting gamers in Europe next week on October 3rd. As the undead rabbit prince of hell, players will jump, jet, drill, and shoot their way through 10 huge, varied locales on a mission to take revenge against the inhabitants of the underworld that saw Ash's illicit photos on the Helternet. There's one way to ensure no one ever laughs at Ash again, and that solution is over-the-top, comically gory levels of Hellion-on-Hellion violence. If you want to know the price of Hell Yeah, Wrath of the Dead Rabbit, it's priced at a mere $14.99. That's 1,200 Microsoft points, for those of you who wonder. You got $9.99 over in Europe and $12.99, respectively. And also, if you're on the PlayStation Network, it's $19.95, I believe. You can check out Sega.com to get a good glimpse of that. It looks to be hilarious, but not my cup of tea. I have never been a fan of the whole Ratchet and Clank, those types of games, and reason being is I did so much marketing for them. You tend to not like them. When you do the marketing for the games, they make you play them first over and over and over because you're supposed to be able to talk about them with everybody. Everything, every little detail, which they were, I wasn't a fan before. Anyway, okay, I will tell you a little bit about the iPhone 5 because I do think this is rather cool. This is actually came out yesterday. Verizon is doing something interesting. They're selling their Verizon iPhone 5 unlocked, and it's on purpose. And it'll stay that way, they said. They said if you buy an iPhone 5 from Verizon, you'll be able to use it on many competing GSM networks around the world and in the U.S. You could use it on AT&T and T-Mobile. Verizon is betting that customer loyalty will continue from other places. For instance, Verizon iPhone 5 high-speed LTE data connectivity will only work on the Verizon's network, not other carriers. Also, the carrier allows you to use Apple's FaceTime app on its data network. And, of course, AT&T doesn't, and its LTE network covers 75% of the country. Finally, Verizon still demands a 2-year contract to buy the iPhone 5 at a subsidized price, as most carriers do, so it's probably a safe bet that most new iPhone customers won't be going anywhere still. It's nice if you want to stick it out for 2 years and then ditch it, but, of course, you know, in 2 years' time, you'll have, like, the iPhone 7. So there's a catch, put it that way. There's a catch 22. So if you want it, you're still going to have to sign a contract. I wish they would just sell it unlocked. I think that they would find a lot more people would buy iPhones just from them. If they sell it unlocked and drop the price a little bit, I would actually go probably and get an iPhone if it wasn't, you know, I might do that. All right, so Ginger is probably attacking the tech guy there from ComCrap. So y'all, you know, we may have to support our girl eventually. All right. Barnes & Noble, well, they're finally launching a digital video store for its line of Nook tablets. Better late than never, right? According to VentureBeat, many people criticized the Nook for not having a video store when it first launched. But it looks like the Nook is able to justify its low price by selling ebooks and other digital media. And keeping with iPads and Google Nexus 7 and, of course, Amazon's Kindle Fire, keeping with what they are doing, they now have their own video store. The store is appropriately called Nook Video and will be available. Ginger, are you really messaging me? Ginger is online. All right. Let me drag Ginger in here while I'm talking. She is back online. She is so happy. I hear her jumping. Do y'all hear the jumping, the screaming, the happy? There she is. And ladies and gentlemen, it be Ginger.
Oh, my God. I'm back. Awesome. Awesome. I have internet. I'm at my computer. It's so nice. And I was like, my phone, like, I don't know what happened, but you couldn't hear me.
I
but about that time, I fixed everything. So,
Thank you.
Yes.
Poor baby. It's horrible being without internet.
It is. And what happened is apparently they're putting new filters on the poles.
Oh.
And whoever did mine Saturday forgot to crimp the connection.
That's all. You could have done it yourself, hell.
I know. I was like, seriously, if you told me that, I could have done that.
Let me finish this story up real quick because I know people are like, he was talking about the Nook. Okay, so those of you who got a Nook, you need to be listening too.
I love my Nook. Yes, what about it?
Okay, so the Nook Video was launched. It'll be available on a variety of devices, including your smartphone, competing tablets even, and your smart TVs. It'll also allow you to retain and store a copy of any ultraviolet movie you've purchased from other digital stores within its Nook Digital Locker. Both movie purchases as well as rentals will be available. There is no launch date. They're just saying this fall. So here in the U.S. and holiday shopping season for you in the U.K. So sometime, Ginger, you're going to have access to a video store and be able to watch your videos on your Nook.
That is awesome. I love my Nook. I love my Nook. Right now it's dead because I ran the battery down this weekend. It's awesome. It's so awesome. But seriously, when I say I run the battery down, I'm talking it takes like 12 hours to run that battery down or better.
That right there is hot.
Yes, I love it. I mean, because as long as you turn off the Wi-Fi connection. But while you're reading a book, what do you need the Wi-Fi connection on anyways?
I like to have my Wi-Fi connection. I'm addicted. I won't even lie.
No, I mean, because there's no messaging service or anything. It's not that I've found on my Nook.
I just want it on. I'm just addicted.
Because, yeah, well, the Wi-Fi will run it down in about 4 or 5 hours.
See, yeah, that's why I constantly have no battery. I got to have the Wi-Fi.
No. But you turn that off, and we're talking 12, 14 hours straight. You can sit there and read. And that's what I'll do. I'll go through a whole novel in, like, 12 hours. And we're not talking the dinky novels. We're talking the, yeah, anyways.
All right. Well, I got some bad news about the Wii, unfortunately.
Oh, what you got? And then I got news after, you know.
Well,
I didn't know.
I know. You got news. Looks like the Wii is going to be locked down region-wise.
What do you mean region-wise?
Well, they say they're going to prevent you from playing games imported from other regions, so you won't be able to play your Japanese games on your Wii. Of course, I'm sure some of you will hack it the first day out, and it'll be all over YouTube. The publisher has made its position clear to the Japanese magazine Famitsu. I love that Japanese name, Famitsu. Where the comment was translated to NeoGAF. Nintendo has since confirmed the move to various other global outlets. This is what can be played on the Wii U is restricted by a region lock feature. It said software that's not sold in the same region cannot be played, with release and translation schedules often varying wildly between regions and continents. Some games never achieve commercial release outside of their home territories or experience long delays. Although these titles are not deemed popular enough to make it commercially viable to bring them to new regions, fans waiting for certain titles will import games in order to play them. A region-locked machine makes that impossible. Many titles have seen great success grow from somewhat fanatical evangelism of importers. Final Fantasy, for example, was really pushed into the collective conscious by the UK by the efforts of magazines such as Superplay, which extorted readers to import the US version of Final Fantasy III until Nintendo recognized the demands. I don't like this, Nintendo. This is not smart. You guys are usually smart. You should probably allow... Somebody's going to hack it anyway. That's kind
somebody's
of...
Somebody's totally going to.
They're already waiting. As soon as they read the... As soon as we told them this, they were like, mm-hmm, let me go see if I can find me a kit already. I don't like the idea. I really wish you guys would leave it region unlocked. I know there's some Japanese games I never got to play. It's not on Wii, but I want to play... And they barely ended up making it here. Remember the Hack.Infection? Anybody remember that series?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, I think they had a cartoon in Japan, and then they finally made it over here, and I had plans to, like, buy the whole series. I was going to sit down and play it, because I think it started on PS2 when they finally started to release them here, and they go all the way up to the PS3. I am so wanting to play that, but I would never get to play it if Nintendo had a say in it. I don't like that. I need you to do it. Do it.
Definitely do it. Ow!
Is that a kitten biting your foot?
No. Just random. I don't know what it was. It was strange.
It's a kitten biting your foot. I know it is.
She's actually napping. So, yeah, let's not summon the little demon.
I got yelled at yesterday by Kitten Matrix, by the way, for waking her up while napping. And it wasn't because I actually tried to wake her. It's because I was on the phone and she was not pleased. She's sleeping in the chair. She was sleeping in the chair next to me, and I was talking on the phone. And all of a sudden, I heard, meow, and I looked at her, and she's like all sleepy. I'm like, will you shut up? And then she laid her head back down to go to sleep as soon as I started talking, meow.
That is hilarious. No, mine has to save up energy because later we'll be letting the larger cat in, the big tom cat. He comes in at night.
Uh-oh.
And she will attack him for hours. And, like, he comes to me begging, please, let me back out. A good sized cat. He's like a 15, 16 pound cat. He's huge. He's massive.
It's like,
he weighs 3 pounds, maybe. Maybe. And she will tackle him and take him to the ground and just. And he knows. He knows better than to hurt her. So it's hilarious watching this itty bitty teeny tiny little ball of fur just take on this massive ball of fur. Oh, he gets so mad. It's so cute, though. It's so cute.
Yeah, Dollar Ball. What's your god?
Well, you didn't want to talk about it, but I want to talk about it, because, oh, my God. All right. So we've heard and we've talked about so many times the Foxconn plant where the people were, you know, killing themselves, everything. Apple's using them to make the iPhones. Well, right. They've been using them to make the iPhone 5 parts. Well, they're shut down today after riots. They say, Apple is celebrating the fact that it sold 5 million units of its iPhone 5 in 3 days. That's crazy, people. Y'all are addicted. Foxconn is definitely not celebrating. No, no, they're cleaning up the mess after massive riots of its production line.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's had to take all of its production offline. This morning, Foxconn has had to shut down a factory in central China after a riot took place in the factory compound late Sunday night. You know what this is all Corey's doing. She was telling them to riot.
I did.
Mm-hmm. New York Times is reporting that the Foxconn plant in the city of Taiwan, which employs about 79,000 workers, had to go into lockdown after a massive brawl involving 2,000 employees. One of the employees told Reuters that the factory is one of the plants that assembles and makes parts for the Apple iPhone 5. No one died during the massive riot brawl at the plant, but at least three employees are in critical condition. There are no known details about the cause of the riot. Pictures being shared by a Twitter account showed chaos, including broken windows and Chinese riot police at the scene. Wow, this is nuts. But you know what? These people are being worked like slave labor. They keep them in a compound. This is not just like, you know, someplace they go off to work. No, no, they live here. They live in teeny tiny little dorms and work here and make nothing. I mean, literally just about nothing. They can't get out because they can't make anything. They're stuck in this job until they die or they're kicked out. It's nuts, people.
I am not understanding why they – okay, there is a weird thing happening that is kind of scary to me. We keep mentioning it on the show, but it is scary. There is a whole anti-American sentiment around the world. People are not liking us. They didn't like us before. They hate us now. And then we're outsourcing our thing. Our American people are mad at our governments for outsourcing our jobs, not just our governments, but companies. People that are outside of the country don't really like us either. So nobody is liking anybody right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why Apple, really at this point in time with all this going on, you really should pull this back home. You should give the people here jobs. They need them. You can enforce some strict policies and say, you know, if you're caught doing this, you're fired. You can pay them the money but get the work out of them at the same time. One of the jobs I had, I worked at Compaq. Although Compaq computers were terrible, they had a very strict scheduling policy. It was a 24-hour deal. It was a plant. It was an assembly line. And I didn't work 24 hours, but they got a contract with a temp agency, and this was a big deal for the temp agencies, okay? You had the contract with them. They would hire people. They would screen you. You came in twice. You came in once for them to talk to you about your work ethic. The second time, it was training you on what the parts of the computers were that Compaq had and what things you weren't supposed to do. And then you picked a shift. Okay, and they had all kinds of shifts you had to pick from. You can work every day, you can work every night, or you can do what's called a 3.5-day shift, which is what I like. I mean, I worked Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then half the day Tuesday at night, like from 10 at night to something like 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning, and then I was off the rest of the week.
Oh, that is nice. I would like that.
I loved it. I loved it. They paid very well. You got lunch breaks, and lunch breaks were scheduled, meaning it was no, you go at this time. It was like, okay, lunch, bam, everybody's off. Go eat, go walk, you know, come back. You need to be back here promptly when your break is over. And they would tell you, these are the conditions under which you're fired. Obviously, if you steal anything, you're fired. You're late to work more than 3 times, instantly fired. There is no unless you can walk in there and say, you know, I broke my leg. It had to be some type of emergency. It couldn't be, you know, I didn't feel like coming. I was tired. They didn't care if you overslept. You had to be there because you picked your schedule. And I forgot there was one other condition under which automatic fire. But they were very strict. You know, you could talk while you worked. They didn't care if you talked. They didn't care if you – I think that around that time it was just cell phones were just starting to pick up. They didn't care if you talked on the phone. So you could have your phone to your ear and be chatting away. Yeah, girl, blah, 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 blah. All night if you want.
That'd be awesome. See, you know, especially, you know, once they came out with the whole little Bluetooth ear thing, you'd be chatting all night.
Yes, and you could, and I did sometimes. I had my boyfriend at the time stay up and talk to me all night because, you know, you do get a little tired. But I was on my feet, and it, again, was not a bad job. I didn't hate it. I loved the hours and the time.
Yeah.
So you can do this, Apple. You can have a 24-hour plant. You can get with a temp agency. You can have them hire people. And then at the time, you knew exactly how long you were working there. So I think my contract was up in 6 months. If you want to continue, you go back to the temp agency and say, I want to do this again. Or you can go to a temp agency and say, I want to stay here, and then they switch you to be a compact employee. You get the benefits. You get to, you know, you still get to pick your schedule, or you can do flex schedule, but your flex schedule still had to be planned a week in advance. But you see what I'm saying? There's a way to get the work out of people, and I don't think I ever saw anybody that was late for work. Even when they were sick, we were there. Even, you know, snow, rain, sleet, or shine, I always saw people coming to work because they understood this is, you know, we have to do this. And we also had the whole checks and balances. You know, I was at one point building motherboards, which I loved. I love doing that. I had a power drill with screws.
That's awesome.
Man. And after I build mine, then I had somebody check mine. Then somebody checked that person. And then they would, you know, down the line, they would put it in. And that was all you did. It's kind of monotonous if you don't like monotonous jobs. But it can be done if Apple would just do it. You can go in and put in strict policies. You know, if you do this, you're fired. You know, if you got too many, we'd find out too many of your iPads are failing and it comes around that it's your team's fault, you're fired. You know, that will increase quality of work. Nobody wants to lose a job, especially if you give them good benefits. Microsoft does it. I'm just saying, Apple, y'all need to pull this home because these people, you're not paying them anything, and honestly, they should riot. They should be throwing stuff. You're not paying them anything, and you have a high demand. They can't leave. They have to sleep there. They sleep in their job.
Wow. Yeah. See, I know somebody who's looking at a position like that, and that's still nuts to me. Oh, my God. I mean,
I can't understand. That sounds like something out of the 1800s to me. You know, slave labor. We're going to lock you in here. You can't leave.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when there's bed and a shower involved with your office.
One there, that's fine. That should be my option. But not, I don't understand. I cannot grasp the whole concept of.
But, you know, I mean, I say we don't do that here in the U.S., but if you think about it, and I'm going to go out on a whole little limb here, and I'm going to get up on a soapbox real quick, just real shortly. Our military, the first three ranks, you are making barely above the poverty line. And you are working ridiculous hours, and you are staying in barracks, more or less, you know, dorms that they give you, and, you know, you're to report in, this is where you stay. And it's not that different, except these people aren't making any money over in China. I mean, seriously, like nothing. They're making like $2-3 a day. That's it. And that's just sad. Totally sad to me.
See, now, on one hand, I expect that from the military.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a good thing to expect, but I expect that. What I don't expect it is...
if you're working for, like, Apple, you know? Yeah.
Apple. It's not that dire. Nobody's going to die if they don't get an iPad. They're dying making them.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And then you get the Google people who are doing it all right. Google's got this down pat, man. They got stores, and they've got restaurants, and they've got parks, and they've got cars you can use. And
yes,
and they got their whole little compound. It's their little mini city.
So
they
does
have
Microsoft.
Everything you could ever want right there.
So does Microsoft.
Microsoft does that too? See, that's awesome. You never hear about Microsoft doing this.
I told you that they still remain to this day one of the best companies that I have worked for. It's, you know, that's been years ago. I would work for them again. No
Microsoft,
problem.
Hire me. Seriously, I want to work for you. Or Google. Either one. I'll work for either.
Yes.
And I'll swear my undying loyalty to you.
They are awesome. I don't understand why Apple has to do this.
People
already hate us, and then your people hate you, and oh, man. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
All right. Well, I got...
You want to go again? Go again.
Yes.
Do it.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Game Politics on... GamePolitics.com just pulled this up. Major ISPs plan cloud-based gaming services for 2013 and 2014. This is kind of cool. Over in Bloomberg, they've got a report that's claiming that a number of major U.S. cable operators, I wonder who those are planning on offering cloud-based gaming as early as next year. The cable companies and service providers that want to get in the game are AT&T, Verizon, Time Warner, and Comcast. Time Warner can't even grip a cable. Anyways, citing people with the knowledge of the matter, Bloomberg claims that trials for some of these services are expected to begin later this year, allowing providers to test and tweak technology before a planned wider launch for some cloud-based gaming offerings in 2013 and 2014. Wow. They say these games aren't going to be just casual offerings. Some of the games provided through these characters will include titles from publishers like EA. That's all they're giving us. EA. Awesome. So the devil is coming to your internet provider near you.
Ginger May.
What?
That's mean.
No, but it's not true.
Yeah, I didn't say it wasn't true. I just said it was mean. I want to go.
Oh, yeah, the Halliburton compounds. I didn't think about that. Halliburton compounds.
That's what I was just typing to him. I almost worked at a Halliburton compound. Them and Brown and Root some years ago. Y'all know I was a temping fool, in, you know, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to work to me. I can't. Yeah. I still now I have issue with that. Staying with one person. They start to get on my
nerves. Yeah. I was looking at a part time job and it's kind of like can I just sign up for you for 6 months?
I'll be here every day. I'll be the best employee you have for 6 months.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I actually got two things. If I can find them. I got a bunch of news open. Okay. There's a – Kabam is going to be making a social and mobile game based on the film The Hobbit. I don't know how I feel about this. I got to – well, let me tell you about the story, then I'll tell you why I'm not sure I feel about this. Okay, so Kabam, in partnership with Warner Brothers, is going to make a social and mobile game based on Peter Jackson's upcoming The Hobbit film trilogy. And Peter Jackson, I'm going to have to ask you, no more Lord of the Rings stuff after this. Please just walk away. We need you to do something else. I need you to get with Stephen King about that whole The Gunslinger series. That's what we need you to do, okay? Move along. So the deal is a big step, according up into a well-known entertainment property for the San Francisco-based Kabam, which has made social mobile games mostly under its own new intellectual properties. But The Hobbit, loosely based on the classic novel by J.R.R. Tolkien, is expected to be one of the most important movie properties of all time, given the prior success of Jackson's Lord of the Rings movie trilogy. Kabam was virtually unknown a few years ago. I can't say that. I've always known who they are. Its success in hardcore social games on Facebook and the iPhone has made it into an attractive partner in extending a movie brand into games, something that used to happen only with established console title companies such as EA or Activision Blizzard. Kabam will make two multiplayer strategy games that will be free to play, where users play for free and pay real money for virtual goods. Hobbit Kingdoms of Middle-Earth will debut on mobile devices. The Hobbit Armies of the Third Age will debut on web browsers. Both will launch in fall of this year, starting today. You can sign up to take part in the upcoming beta for The Hobbit Armies of the Third Age. According to VB, The Hobbit trilogy is being made by director Jackson and produced by New Line Cinema and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Pictures. Do you remember when Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer used to write kids' books? The first film, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, debuts this December the 14th, 2 days after the zombie apocalypse. Or is that on the 21st? Is it 12 or 21st? Anyway, the second film, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, opens December 13th, 2013. Wow. And the third film, The Hobbit, There and Back Again, will be released July 18th, 2014. Why don't you just, whatever. The zombie apocalypse is coming. We're not going to get to see these. Come on now, Peter.
Yeah. And I'm looking for, because I just saw a press release about, where was it? Lego Lord of the Rings, except that they're not actually discussing anything. So never mind.
I don't want them to do that. The film are based, of course, on a single novel by Tolkien, but Jackson is taking artistic liberty in adding his own material. That's a no-no. The movie, for instance, includes the elf character Legolas, who appeared in the Lord of the Rings film, but never in the book version of The Hobbit. That's a no-no. The Hobbit films are among the most anticipated entertainment launches of all time, said Kabam CEO Kevin Chow. Kabam's unique ability to blend the art of game design and the science of free-to-play distribution makes us a natural fit to partner with Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment. Kabam Games will be an excellent way for The Hobbit film fans around the world to interact with the characters in the universe. Previously, Kabam moved into licensed property realm with The Godfather Five Family Social Game, which was okay to play for a short time, but they never added features in that would have made it really just top of the line. You can't have a mob family and y'all can't talk to each other, and I can't share my goods with them. If my boys, because I forgot what my name was. What was it? I think it was just Game of Matrix or something, but I had like my whole fedora and my pencil skirt working.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was the only girl in my mob family. And I was, but I was a, I was also a double agent, meaning I would go and pretend like I was
friends with someone
else. But I couldn't. You can't send your guys help. Like, you know, my guys would be messaging me, you know, sometimes while we were doing the show, going, I need guys. You know, somebody is attacking my city. I can't do anything to help them. So they really didn't. Kabam. So we'll see how they do with this one. I am not all that excited. I really wish he had left the whole Lord of the Rings thing alone. You did a beautiful thing. It's wonderful. You got kids reading the book again, but I don't like it. And Joe is saying he believes there's talks for a movie and TV series. I don't want them to do that either, because just let it go. Sometimes you need to quit beating a dead horse, Peter. There's another big story that's waiting on you, and there's a lot of fans, Stephen King fans, are just begging for you to get a hold of it, and that's the Gunslinger series. It's kind of Lord of the Rings-esque, but with the whole Gunslinger, modern, crazy, steampunk, all kind of crazy stuff thrown in the middle there. Ginger would love it. I love it. You need to get a hold of that and just do it. And there's 7 books for you to mess around with. 7.
Wow. That is a good bit of books.
Yeah, he could pull a Harry Potter and just do 7, you know, 7 movies. I'd watch all of them. I'll be old by the time the last one comes out, but I'll see every single one if you do it, because I know it's going to be good. But this needs
Yes.
Oh, and I was going to say, the reason why I also wasn't sure about them doing this, you know, a good game from a movie that I'm actually enjoying playing, that Hotel Transylvania on Facebook.
Have you been playing that? Is it good?
I am, and it's you know, simulator-esque, and I'm having to keep track of my guests, and you have to, it's, of course, it's, you know, made around vampires and zombies and stuff. I never have enough zombies to take care of my guests, so somebody was mad. Somebody was, I think a zombie was eating somebody or something.
Oh, no.
I'm not really sure. Y'all should check that one out. It's good on Facebook. I enjoy it. I'm enjoying playing it. When I can.
Awesome. Yeah. I was actually trying to look it up just then, Facebook's being a fail. All right. So, drone pilots are typing up, I guess, talking about that using a drone. Oh, what's going on? Hold on. Screen flickered. Go back. Using a drone is not like playing a video game. They say there's a common and widespread misconception among the general population that flying a drone for the United States government or military is like playing a video game. But an in-depth article on the subject over on Business Insider reveals that there is simply a lie. They say, in fact, if you ask actual drone pilots, they'll tell you that their work is nothing like a video game. I wouldn't have assumed that they thought it was like a video game. United States pilots that are using drones for surveillance in Afghanistan say that one similarity is that they use a joystick-like device. Rob Blackhurst says that most drone pilots are softly spoken and sober about the life and death decisions with which they are charged, and they should be, as opposed to the image perpetrated by the media that drone pilots are kill-happy video game players eating Cheetos and drinking Mountain Dew while they strike a village or kill a remote target. Hey, screw you. It better be the crunchy Cheetos.
Oh, man, the hot ones, man.
I've not tried those.
What? Oh, my God.
One RAF Reaper pilot called Oz says, it's anything but. If we act like it's Star Wars, there are people in the command center watching us and listening to what we do. The taking of human life is not something to be considered lightly. Okay, they are bad guys we are killing, but they are still human beings. Blackhurst goes on to note that the high level of disdain drone pilots have to being portrayed in that light. There we go. I couldn't read that sentence for some odd reason. No, and I wouldn't think that they're sitting there cackling and laughing. And I can't imagine anybody taking a life, even our guys that are on the front lines, on the ground, with guns in their hands. It's not like COD where they're over there teabagging people. All right? It's just not like that.
I would hope they're not.
No. They're just as much scared for their own lives as they are of taking somebody else's. What we charge these men and these women with is unreal. Did they come back whole at all? And I'm not just talking arms and limbs. Is amazing. Seriously, people, it's not fun and games. War is not. And anybody who thinks that these girls and guys doing this think it's a game are crazy. I mean, I know some people go over there gung-ho, but the minute they get on the ground and they actually get in the reality of the situation, it's totally different.
And if you don't believe it's different, you should probably go down to your local VA hospital.
Yes, and talk to some of these guys and girls, yes.
Not cute. Mm-hmm. All right, I want to let you guys know we're getting ready to update our T-shirt stores as well. Not just making baby shoes. I have been a busy gaminatrix.
Yay!
But right now, before I pull down these T-shirts that some of you have been buying up for some odd reason. I don't know why you like these horrible t-shirts, but you do. No. the t-shirts that we still have up in our Cafe Press store, which I will hopefully get linked to our main site today. But in case I don't, you go over to Cafe Press, you search for Gammanatrix, and you will find our t-shirts. 10% of our proceeds are going to benefit breast cancer this week. Yay! Dude, you buy one and it goes to the breast cancer. That's all you got to do. You can buy it, put it away for a Christmas gift for that special girl gamer in your life. More specifically, if you want to know which ones, it's the ones that say, I like big hard drives. And, of course, the ginger came from the brain of ginger. I only ride epic mounts one as well. Check those out. All right. Got a new company, more crowdsource funding. I'm liking all these popping up now. Somebody going to give us some money. One of you. I don't know which one is going to do it, but one of you is.
We love money.
You got a new one launching today called Gambitious. Uh-huh. they said they're filling what perceives to be a gap, focusing solely on game crowdfunding projects where both fans and investors can participate. That's right. They are an Amsterdam-based company, and ladies, a few of them are kind of cute. I'm just saying. I don't really like the blondes, but hey, a couple of them need some. They got an empty lap, looks like. The Amsterdam-based company describes it as a crowdfunding going pro. In this particular hybrid model, fans can donate money to any game project just as you can with Kickstarter, but outside the U.S., investors can also contribute money in exchange for an equity stake in the project. I'm all for this. I got some money.
Yes.
This could allow game companies to raise hefty sums. So in the next year or two, thanks to the Jobs Act passed by Congress, investors in the U.S. should be able to participate more fully as soon as the Securities and Exchange Commission lays down the law. Until then, Americans can contribute via fan donations. As previewed earlier this year, Gambitious is starting out with 7 new projects that indie developers are trying to raise money for. Mike Wilson, a co-founder, said in an interview with GamesBeat that the Gambitious system is tailored for the needs of the game industry, since indie game developers have a bigger chance than ever to take control of their creative financial destiny. He says that we've made sure that everything is completely ready. We've put in place controls for vetting projects. Nice. The framework lets indie game developers and publishers secure funds for the development of a new or existing game project, and gamers and investors can find projects with a chance for a financial return. He said crowdfunding is becoming is causing a great seismic shift. Why can't I not speak today? And how projects get funded. However, there are risks of crash and burn due to unfulfilled projects and unfinished games. He said unlike other crowdfunding platforms, hint, hint, Kickstarter, Gambitious is designed specifically for the video game industry and ups the ante of developer credibility, investor engagement, and development cycle understanding. I like it. Gambitious offers opportunity to invest and or support promising ideas that have a real chance of commercial viability. The Gambitious platform includes a formal qualification process requiring all developers to submit a detailed business and marketing plan. That's right. And in all cases, a developer keeps their intellectual property. Uh-huh. So that means, you know what that means? Probably if you put it on Kickstarter, you may not be able to keep your... wait till the first lawsuit comes from the person that says, I feel like I should own a piece of this game since I donated you money on Kickstarter. That's coming. If the game reaches an investment goal and turns a profit, the investors will receive dividends based on their initial investments. There's quite a few projects available already. Candy Kids by Abstract Games. Cosmic DJ. I don't know what it's about. None of these. I don't know what they're about, but they sound interesting. Mushroom Men by Red Fly Studio. Pyrotunes by Fishing Cactus. Super Micro Heroes by Mutant Games. They're in Spain. Tink by Mimi Productions in Germany.
Mimi Productions.
All right. Train Fever by Urban Games. And also upcoming is Chariot Wars by Candela over in England. Earth No More by 3D Realms here in the USA. I know them. Panzer Pets by Guamundo in the Netherlands. And Stronghold Crusaders 2 by Firefly Studios in England. So you can go over and check out Gambitious.com and see what else is over there. Maybe you want to invest in something. You always wanted to, you know, say I was there first and I helped out. You'll be able to get the chance to say so. And a t-shirt is not going to do it all the time.
That is kind of cool.
I kind of like them. We kind of digging you, Gambitious, but kind of digging you.
Just a little bit digging. Just
yes, you're kind of hot, yes.
Teeny tiny little bit, though.
Kind of think you're hot.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sassy.
All right, so did we already talk about EA closing PopCap offices?
We did not. That was on my list, but please do so I can take it off because I hate to keep talking about the devil.
All right. EA is the devil. And they apparently have it out for PopCap, bought them up, and now are closing them up.
Ooh.
EA closes what? PopCap office in Dublin, Ireland, lays off entire staff. That's not good. MCB has confirmed with parent company Electronic Arts that the publisher has closed its Dublin, Ireland PopCap Games office and laid off, like I said, its entire staff. The news comes on the heels of 50 layoffs last month at its PopCap Seattle office and unspecified number of employees let go from its Irish operations. Wow. The closure and layoffs are the result of an exploratory consultation to evaluate the future of Dublin. Obviously, the evaluation of the office determined that it was no longer viable in the restructure of EWA's casual division. Wow. They're saying at least 96 layoffs and the studio's closure. In a statement to MTV, an EA devil representative offered the following on the closure. They say, yeah, we know we're the devil. PopCap has provided, sorry, no, they didn't say that part. PopCap has provided outplacement support, and many employees have offers in other parts of PopCap. At EA or new opportunities with technology partners in Ireland, Europe remains a critical market for PopCap, and we will continue to grow our presence through centralized services operated from our North American offices and through the extensive European EA network. EA, you're the devil. How dare you close PopCap? Come on. What are you going to do when there's zombies on your lawn? You know, little flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers won't grow in hell.
Now, speaking of them doing this, even though once EA fires people, apparently they still keep an eye on them.
Mm-hmm.
And we got about 4 minutes, so I'm going to do this one real quick. According to some correspondence from Electronic Arts, an EA ex-employee, it reveals how the publisher attempts to enforce confidentiality agreements and maintain control over company secrets long after the staff has left the company. A legal note to Ben Cousins, previously general manager of EA's Easy Studio, highlights how the publisher had serious concern about leaking company secrets and other confidential information, including the salaries of EA employees, when Cousins began to set up a new Swedish studio for mobile publisher Ingimoco. He says, in the correspondence, we understand that you recently accepted the employment as general manager of Ingimoco Sweden. EA is seriously concerned about the possible solicitation of its employees and possible misuse of protected intellectual property and trade secret information by you and Ingimoco in violation of your continuing obligations to EA. And we want to both remind you of your obligations to respect EA's confidential and proprietary information, as well as EA's relationship with its current employees, and inform you that we will take action if we were to discover past or future breaches of your obligations. EA was no doubt watching the new Swedish studio grow last year with a great interest, and the letter itself anticipates the number of employees would jump ship and join Cousins at Ingimoco. The letter also added, since, as we understand it, you are the only existing employee of the new Ingimoco studio, it is EA's position that the above limitations, which I did not list, you can probably go around on the internet and find the full letter, the limitations effectively prevent you from hiring EA employees to initially populate your Ingimoco studio. He left EA in March of last year, joined Ingimoco that June, and it wasn't until September that the second hire in the company was revealed. Senta Jacobson, who's the former chief operating officer of EA DICE, as well as senior development director at Crytek. Over the coming months, Ingimoco Sweden continued to sign up new staff, including veterans of EA's Battlefield studio. The letter was sent July 1st, 2011, and was also sent to founder of Ingimoco, Neil Young, who left EA in 2008 after 11 years. He sold Ingimoco to DNA in 2010 for more than $400 million. Dude, do you need some? You need somebody to sit on your lap. I'm ready.
No kidding, right?
Ben Cousins declined to comment further on the legal letter today, at which time, he's not saying anything. He did joke on Twitter that the irony, of course, is that EA covets as trade secret is actually crappy old-fashioned design by DNA standards. You know what, EA, you're supposed to wait until after they do something before you send that letter out. You don't threaten beforehand, because then you give them good God.
Exactly.
You're supposed to know better than that, EA. Boo, EA.
Boo, EA. Boo, entirely, EA.
All right, well, it's time for us to get out of here. You ladies are doing Pixanisa tonight, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be here.
Well, that's what Snow said, because I was going to ditch the show, because I won't be there, but these ladies will be there. And since I won't be there, we'll tell you next week just so I can hear Ginger go in the high register. We have a special guest coming on Pixanisa, not tonight, but next week. I found what's called a mobile boutique on the street last Friday.
A mobile are they using the whole little scanner?
I don't know. No. It is a mobile boutique on the street, meaning they drive around. They will come to you, ladies. They also have a mobile shoe store.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
So they're going to come on and talk to us about that and, you know, how they keep their business, which is primarily done, you know, on the web and, you know, if you see them. And that's how I ended up talking to her. I got out to take pictures of the van. I was like, this is cool. I'll call them later. But she actually came out. I got to go in. I've got pictures. Oh, my God. And it's haute couture, and it's not expensive. We're talking about $50 or so. From a designer out in California. So they'll be on next week. But tonight, I don't know what these two are going to do tonight. I'll be in the chat room, so I don't know. Y'all know they're going to go crazy, these two.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys later. I need direction. Just got my bounce.